Well, happy Sabbath to each one. It's wonderful to be here with you today. Thank you so much for that special music. That couldn't have gone better with today's message. Because the reality is that people do need the Lord. Amen? But it is nice to be in my home church. And many of you may not know because you don't see me that much, but this is my home church now, and I'm happy to be here with my church family. I thank the pastor for opening the pulpit to me, and I can just see that the Lord is doing a great work here. Adventure Club, Pathfinder Club, AY, Evangelism Plans, the Lord is doing a great work here, and it's just so good to be here with you on this Sabbath day. How many of you brought your Bibles with you? Hold those Bibles high. Let me see them. Yeah, the Word of God is dear and precious to us, and we're going to get into that today. If you don't have a Bible, I saw in the front of the pew, right in front of you, there are Bibles there. We want you to feel welcome to use those. But I'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll open the Word of God together. Let us bow our heads. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Father, thank you for this time that we have that we can come together to open the Word of God. May it be precious to us this day. We pray for your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts individually. Pray that you would encourage and strengthen us, that you would convict us. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Father, I pray that you would speak through me today. I ask that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, there may be some here that sense the call of Christ in their life, more so today than other days. And I pray, Lord, you might draw them this day. But in some way, Lord, draw us each one closer to the side of our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 5. We know the story well. Jesus has gone across the sea with his disciples. They had an interesting journey across the sea. But when they come to the other side, they go into the tombs, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on the story this morning, but Jesus meets two men that are demon-possessed, and through the power of God, he restores them. The city hears about it, and the city comes out, and instead of being so happy and glad and wanting to see more of the power of God among them, what do? What does the Bible say? Look at this. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And look here at verse 17. Are you following this? Mark chapter 5 and verse 17. And the Bible says, then they began to what? They began to plead with him. You ever pled with Jesus? I hope not in this way. They began to plead with him, with Jesus, to what? To depart. Now, what does it mean to depart? To leave. They're begging Jesus to leave them. That has to be among some of the saddest words in Scripture. Here these are. And they, the city, if you go to Luke says not only the whole city, but the whole region had come out to that sight of the power of God being demonstrated. And they beg and they plead, asking for Jesus to go. You know, sometimes we have to be very careful because there are many times in our lives we may not be verbally pleading for Christ to leave us, but through our actions, through our decisions, we may be asking for Jesus to go. You've heard it before. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force. And when the request is given, he will not force himself to stay. So the next verse says that Jesus got into the boat. But now look at verse 18. And when he got in the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him. So here you have, you have just such a difference. You have the city, they're begging Christ to leave, and Jesus grants their request. And then you have the one who has just been freed by the power of God. He comes and he begs Jesus, "Can I please go with you?" And Jesus says, he could not. But I just want to point this out. I mean, this to me is so incredible in Scripture. Here is this man. He's there. He is pleading with Jesus to go with him. Have you ever thought what it's like to plead with someone? How many of you have pled with someone? Is there a difference between asking someone and pleading with someone? Is there a difference between being polite and thinking about everyone around you and saying, "Oh, please, could I go with you?" Is there a difference between that or falling on your knees, begging, imploring, pleading with Jesus? Is there a difference? Just imagine this. You know what I really think the difference is? There comes a point in our lives where we stop worrying about what others may think about us around us. And we come to Christ and we plead to be with Christ. And we want to be with him no matter what. Here's the difference. I'll give you an example. How many of you have children? Have any of your children come and asked you for something with their other friends around them? Yes. Do they ask you differently with their friends around you, around them, than if they're alone with you in another room? You know, when their friends around, you know, they want to save their face in front of the friends. They're not going to whine and fuss and throw a tantrum when their friends are around. I mean, I've even tested this. You know, when my children, they'll be throwing a fit, I'll say, "Let's call your friend and let's see what they'll say." And you know what happens to their attitude? Almost immediately, they'll stop the sniffling and the fussing because they don't want their friends to see them begging. They're worried about what the friends might think about them. How many times have we worried about what people think about us when we should be thinking about pleading to be at the feet of Jesus? Here they are, they're begging to be with Jesus. Verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." So he's pleading. He wants to be with Christ. Jesus has just transformed his life. Jesus has done a miracle in his life, and he wants nothing more than to be with Jesus. I hope and pray that that is your desire each and every day, to be with Jesus. That you wake up in the morning and you go and you beg, "Jesus, do not let me be without you this day." That you awaken, you go to the Scriptures and say, "Jesus, I must be with you this day." Let us be those kinds of men and women and boys and girls that we will plead to be with Jesus. But Jesus sends them to go and share what he's done for them. Do you think Jesus wanted them to come with him? Do you think Jesus wants you to be with him? You better believe it. Jesus wants to be with us. Jesus doesn't want anything, I believe, more than to be with us. He loves us. He loves you. He wants to be with us. And when he told those men that they could not come, I just have to believe that Jesus would have loved for them to get in that boat and be with him. But he sent them. I want to show you something incredible. I mean, this is just so incredible to understand. Desire of Ages, page 339. Talking about these men as they went in obedience to the command of Christ. The Desire of Ages says this: in doing this work, they could receive a greater blessing. What does that mean? Greater, right? It means they could get more blessing, a greater blessing than if merely for benefit to themselves they had remained in His presence. Now, that should just blow your mind away, okay? They could receive a greater blessing obeying the command of Christ than if they would have, for their own benefit, gotten in the boat and sat right next to Jesus. As they went, they could receive a greater blessing than if they stayed in the boat next to Jesus. Please, someone tell me that just blows your mind away. I mean, it's incredible. Greater blessing. Now notice this next sentence. It is in working to spread the good news of salvation that we are brought near to the Savior. Amen. So how are we brought near to Jesus? As we obey the command of Christ to go and share with others the wonderful things that God has done for us, that is how we are brought near to the Savior. Isn't that incredible? Then as we go, we can receive such a wonderful and great blessing as we labor for Christ. Now I want you to say something with me. I'm going to say it to you. And if you agree, I want you to say it with me. Laboring for Christ is laboring with Christ. Because when they went, they were closer, in a sense, to Christ as they went to labor for Him than if they would have been in the boat with Him. I mean, that's incredible. Laboring for Christ is what? Laboring with Christ. You know, how many of you believe that Jesus is coming again soon? Do you really believe that? I mean, when I look at the times in which we're living, you know, I can't even imagine how close we are to the end of all things. You know what that tells me? Jesus has to be more earnest than ever that we labor to bring those that He loves. Friends, we need a reconsecration. We need a recommitment to laboring for Christ. We need to set all things aside. We need to put the worldliness aside and not worry about what the world thinks about us as we go. We must go labor for Christ. And as we go, we will find that laboring for Christ is laboring with Christ. And we'll find the greatest blessing that we could ever imagine as we labor with our Savior. How Jesus wants to bless us. How He wants to make our walk with Him such a joy, such a strength, such a blessing. We need to implore Christ in prayer for a reconversion and a reconsecration to service. Amen? Amen? Sometime later, the disciples felt a similar way. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. Just imagine this. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to set up His kingdom. The disciples thought that Jesus was not going to be taken from them. And then Jesus was taken to the cross and to the grave. He was removed from them. They had a bitterness and a sadness that we can't hardly even imagine. when Jesus was taken from them. And then Jesus was restored to them. Jesus came and he met with them, and their hearts were overjoyed. And then Jesus takes them out as far as Bethany. And then they realize that Jesus is going to be what? He's going to be taken from them again. How they wanted to be with Jesus. Acts 1 verse 9 says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." I mean, if you were there, if Jesus was right there, wouldn't your heart just long to be with him? Say, "Lord Jesus, let me get into that boat of glory with you. Oh, I want to be with you." And yet he was taken out of their sight. Verse 8, the verse before, Jesus has said that they were going to receive power. The Holy Spirit was going to come upon them. And what were they going to be? They were going to be his witnesses. I mean, this is incredible. Minister of Healing, page 104. Through the Holy Spirit, when that power would come upon them, the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon them, through the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, would be even nearer to them than when he walked visibly among men. Isn't that incredible? That as we go, as we become the witnesses for Jesus, as we go to labor not only for Christ but with Christ, he is closer to us through the Holy Spirit than when he walked visibly among men. I mean, that is just amazing. As our hearts are joined to the hearts of Christ, to the heart of Christ, to labor. Now, do you think Jesus wanted to leave his disciples? I don't think so. Jesus is being lifted up from the earth. I think he wanted to be with his disciples more than anything. I'm going to show you that here in a minute. I mean, it's incredible. But Jesus, he loves us. What is Jesus' in Scripture? What is Jesus' favorite title for himself? It's not Prince of Peace. It's not Almighty God. It's not even Son of God. It is Son of Man. Over 80 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man. Jesus has forever connected himself to us, and you had better believe it. He wants to be with us. He has not gone back to heaven just to idly wait. He is our great and mighty high priest. And he is laboring in heaven while we labor below so that we can hasten his soon return. Amen. You know, why is it that Jesus sent those men and didn't let him get in the boat? Why is it that the disciples were left upon the earth and were not allowed to come up with Jesus? You know, Jesus did take others with him. Jesus did take certain ones with him from the earth back to heaven. But why is it that those who maybe wanted to be with him the most weren't allowed to go? It's very simple, and you already know it. Give you a passage that maybe we should all commit to memory. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, this is the chapter in Scripture where we know Jesus as what? I know you're Bible scholars. What is John chapter 10? Jesus as our shepherd. Look at this. Jesus is the good shepherd in verse 11. Down in verse 16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." How is it that all these other sheep that are Jesus's are going to hear his voice? Someone tell me. From us. We are that voice for the truth to lead people to Jesus. Jesus, He sent them because, of course, He loved those that did not yet love Him in the way that He knew they could. All those people in the city that was begging Christ to leave, He was going to be coming back later, and many of them were going to accept Him as the Messiah. Jesus didn't have a heart to just let them beg Him to leave and have no way to reach them. So He wants them. He wants them. He wants me. And He most certainly wants you. Now I want to show you this. This is incredible to me. Jesus does want to be with us. I believe Jesus wanted the demoniacs to get in the boat. I believe He wanted to be able to take the disciples back to heaven with Him right there. But Jesus, He's there. He's on that mountaintop. He's ascending to heaven. The Bible tells us in Acts 1 that the disciples are gazing and Jesus is slowly being lifted up. Now as He's being lifted up, the Bible tells us that there are two angels there. It says here, Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. And while they steadfastly looked toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood them in white apparel. They're there. Do you know that the spirit of prophecy tells that these angels were the angels that were with Christ throughout His entire life? These are the angels that were at the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. These are the angels who had been with Christ moment by moment through His life. And now as Christ is being taken up, Christ's ascension into heaven as victorious, where are they? Do you know the spirit of prophecy tells us that they wanted to be with Jesus? They wanted to be with Jesus. But what did they choose to do? They chose to be with us in a sense, with the disciples to comfort their hearts. They chose to be with the disciples because they knew the disciples longed to be with Christ and they wanted to encourage them and said, this same Jesus who's being taken up, He's going to come again. But look at this. Imagine this scene. Jesus being taken up into the clouds. Now, what were those clouds? Those clouds were the host of the angelic angels. That's what those clouds were. And when Jesus is hidden by the clouds, He's being hidden by the angelic host. They are so excited to see their Savior. Their King, their Lord. They're so excited to have Jesus, their commander, with them. And Jesus being hidden out of the sight of the disciples. Do you know what the angels began to sing? Do you know we know what they sang? Isn't it incredible that we know what those angels sang? You know what they sang? You want to read it together? Look at this. Come with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 68. This is what they sang when they were rejoicing that Jesus was coming home. Look at this. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 32. Psalm 68, 32. They said, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. They're excited. Jesus is victorious. He's risen from the grave. He's coming back to the heavenly places. To Him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, He sends out His voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. That's what the angelic host began to sing. They're there. Jesus is coming, and they engulf him, and they begin to escort Jesus back to heaven. I mean, just imagine the glory of that angelic host. How many angels are there? Thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands and thousands, an innumerable company of heavenly beings. They're there, the glory, the beauty, the majesty of it. Just imagine it. And there they are, going back to heaven. The disciples longing to be with Jesus, seeing him go. Now that's this side, earth to heaven. And then there's the side of heaven to earth. What's happening on the other side? All of the angels that are in heaven are gathering. The cherubim, the seraphim, the commanders of the angelic host, they're gathering. And then you have the representatives from the unfallen world. They're gathering together to meet Jesus when he gets to heaven. Have you ever been to an exciting reunion of some sorts? Or you've been to a wedding and the anticipation is for the bride to enter through the door? Heaven is exuberant. Heaven is anticipating the King of Glory to come in. And they're gathering. All of heaven is waiting. The Father is there longing to see his Son. And then from earth to heaven, they're flying swiftly towards heaven. Now, what is it that we know about angels? Well, there are a lot of things. One thing that I cannot wait to fully be able to see is the brightness and glory of heaven. Now, when those gates of New Jerusalem are opened, we know when heaven comes to this earth and the New Jerusalem settles here, there's not going to be need of the sun. There's not going to be need of the moon. Why? Because the light and glory of God is going to radiate throughout the earth. I mean, it's going to be so incredible to see. How many of you are visual people? I mean, just imagine the scene. The gates open, the glory of God flooding out of those gates. Now, there's something we know about space, right? You look out into the heavens at night, except for the stars, what do you see? Dense darkness. Just imagine the contrast, the glory of heaven just shining out. And then you have this innumerable company of angels. They're singing with Christ with them, and they're flying this, it probably looks like a comet or something, just zooming towards heaven. Light and light, squelching the darkness between. And as it gets close, the gates are opened. The angels that are inside the city of Jerusalem, they come out and they begin to shout to the angelic host approaching. And then there's this incredible volley, this echoing, resounding the glory of God throughout the heavenly places. Do you know what they said? Do you know we know? I mean, when we are so privileged to have even a glimpse of understanding at these scenes of glory. Friends, we need to let the glorious things of heaven stir our hearts. You know, when I go and I open up the hymnal and I go and I'm glad to hear the pastor's going to be, they're going to be writing some hymns. I wish I could be here next Sabbath to hear you sing them. But when our pioneers, you go and you read the hymns that they wrote. You sing those hymns. They beat with fervency They beat with energy. They beat with a hope that I fear that we have somehow lost in a sense. Where we are stirred by the things of heaven. Where our hearts long for the heavenly places as one who would be a pilgrim in a strange land, longing to go home. Don't we want our hearts to move like that? Oh, friends, let our hearts be stirred by heavenly things. I mean, we know what the angel said. This is it. Turn with me, Psalm 24. I mean, this is so incredible. I mean, sometimes when I read these things, they stir me so much. This is our hope. These are the scenes of our Savior who longs to come for us. Look at this. The angels are approaching heaven. They see the glory of heaven shining through the gates of the city. And they shout out Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up what? Lift up your heads, O you gates. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of what? The King of glory shall come in. And then the angels inside the city, their hearts are just so excited. And I hope for a moment, can you do me a favor? Just for a moment, let your hearts be so excited. Imagine that we are there with that angelic host. Jesus is coming. And I'm telling you, friends, one day Jesus is going to come. And we're going to say, look, everybody, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. Do you think in that day we're going to be gloomy, and we're going to be downtrodden? Oh, someone have mercy on me. We are going to be filled with the light and glory of heaven. Oh, friends, just for a moment. Let the glory of heaven shine upon us this morning. Smile for me. We're going to say this together. All right, Pastor? Is that all right? Who is this King of glory? Are you ready? We're going to say it together. Who is this King of glory? That's what they shouted. They're excited. And just imagine the company approaching heaven, they could not wait to respond. They couldn't wait for it. They said, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And what did they say? Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, we have the privilege of letting our minds dwell on such sacred and holy scenes. I mean, the glory of it. I mean, doesn't that just excite your heart? Jesus, victorious, triumphant, the King of glory. You would think that not one voice in heaven or on this earth could remain silent. It's such a King of glory. One day every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. But I pray that our knees will bow, but also that our crowns will come off and be cast at the feet of Jesus. Because we are beginning to realize when we get into eternity, just the glimpse, the smallest glimpse of the love of Christ for each one of us and what He's done. I'm not done. I'm almost done. Jesus, He meets that heavenly gate. I just imagine the angels. It's so hard to even bring it in. Christ comes. I just imagine them just swarming Him. Just longing to be with Jesus. The gates are open. They're flooding in. Christ is about ready to enter in. You would think that Christ's heart would be so lifted, so encouraged. He comes in. The mighty host comes at Him. Do you know what Jesus does? I mean, the first time I read this, I wept. It gave me a glimpse of my Savior that I had not seen so clearly before. A glimpse of His love for me. And at the same time, it gave me such a greater earnestness to labor for my Savior more than ever before. You know what Christ did? The angelic host comes. All of this joy, all of this exuberance, all of this longing to worship Him as King of Kings. They come at Him. And Jesus waves them away. And He says, not yet. Not yet. Why would He do such a thing? Spirit of prophecy tells us. You can look it up. Gospel Workers, page 517. He waved them back because Jesus' heart was still down below with His disciples. He wanted to be with His disciples. When Jesus got into that boat, He sent those demoniacs healed to go share. He longed for them to be with Him. When Jesus was lifted up from the earth into the heavenly places, He did not forget His disciples. He did not forget about us. He longs to come and get us. He said, I'm going away and I'll prepare a place. But if I go, I'll what? I'll come again. That's why when you get into the Scriptures, you see the longing of Christ to be with His people. That's why the very last look in Scripture is in Revelation, where Jesus says, I am coming quickly. And the response of the prophet is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Don't you want Jesus to come again soon? Oh, how I long for Jesus to come. Oh, how He wants us to be ready to meet Him. But not only for us to meet Him in peace, but this community, this school. Maybe there's someone here even today that has not surrendered their life fully to Christ. We're going to give you that opportunity. But Christ is longing for us. Does He not deserve more of our earnestness? Does Christ not deserve more self-sacrifice? Doesn't He deserve more of what we have? Doesn't one who gave His life for us deserve our all? Oh, friends, let's have a recommitment. Let's have a reconsecration to service. Let's plead for God to give us the Holy Spirit that we may labor in earnestness and with great power more than ever before, that we might answer the prayer of Christ. When Jesus was on this earth, the earnest prayer before the cross, his one thought, his main thought was for us to be one with each other and one with him, and that we may see him in all of his glory. Oh, let's be the answer to that prayer of Jesus. Jesus has not left us alone. He has not left us alone. Didn't he say that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age? Amen.